This is Kath Ann, weekly host of the Homework Help Global's The Learning Studio. This week in episode 5, we talked about mental health, something that is near and dear to my heart, and why it is relevant to everyone. Some of our viewers mentioned the challenges of anxiety and the stigma that surrounds it. We talked about depression, anxiety, and how to get help if you need it. If any of this sounds interesting to you, jump in and join us on the 5th episode of the Homework Help Global's The Learning Studio. My name is Kath Ann, and I am the weekly host of Homework Help Global's The Learning Studio. Hi, Coach Core and Danielle. So this week, we are going to talk about mental health. The last couple of weeks, we focused mainly on week 3, we discussed how to create a killer thesis statement. And then in week 4, we discussed how to do academic research appropriately. Yes, we meet again, Coach Core and the Neighborly Consultant. You guys are getting to be regulars. I appreciate that. I'm just going to confirm that I'm live on Facebook. I believe I am, but I'm just going to check. And then, so this week we wanted to do a little bit more geared towards student life. So we wanted to discuss specifically student mental health and go a little bit more in depth, because the first couple of weeks we briefly touched on getting into the routine of things as a student and as well as kind of how to take care of yourself. But now, because mental health is such a major issue, I wanted to go a little bit more in depth into that topic. Especially, I don't know if anyone has seen, but there have been a couple of articles that came out recently just before the university season started. Okay, great. I am live on Facebook. That's awesome. Okay. Just before the university season started, I think it was around October or so, there were three that I saw off the top of my head, articles that came out. There was one in The Star, there was one in the Globe and Mail, and there was one in The Guardian, I believe. So those are all Canadian publications, around mental health and how there's this increasing kind of dilemma with student mental health, specifically university students, that are running into issues when they start university and realizing that they're experiencing some kind of mental health concern. And as such, the universities are having difficulty keeping up with the need for resources, because they're seeing like an unprecedented number of students coming forward with some mental health concerns. So I thought it would be appropriate to discuss mental health. And as I've mentioned in the past, my background is in social work, so it is something that I feel comfortable speaking about. Certainly, I'm not going to indicate that I know everything, or that I could even provide counseling or anything in this venue, but at the same time I can provide some resources and some information around specific mental health issues. So if that sounds good to you, I hope that you will continue to view, because I have some good content for us this week. So, first of all, I wanted to get into just a little bit of statistics, because I think that sometimes when we're talking about issues, it can help to frame things out when you talk about some statistics and how many people are actually affected by mental health. So mental health, of course, it indirectly affects everyone, because at some point or other, we are all going to come in contact with someone who has had a mental health concern or is currently experiencing something. So I think it's really important to be aware that that is an issue. And because mental illness is becoming less and less stigmatized, especially in Canadian society, people are being more open about their experiences, which is great. But that means that we also have to be able to provide them with support in the appropriate ways if they do come forward and make note that they have a mental health concern. So most likely all of us have encountered someone who has a mental health issue, whether they are explicit about it or not. So every year, 1 in 5 Canadians experiences some kind of mental health condition, whether it's an extreme mental health condition, which are less statistically, they're going to be less prevalent statistically, or whether it's something more common like anxiety or depression. And just a note, some people, you probably already know this, but mental health can affect anyone of any age. So in my experience as a social worker, you know, I worked with young people who had mental health conditions diagnosed, youth, like teenagers and people in their 20s, as well as older people. So it really doesn't discriminate in terms of age. And approximately 8% of adults will experience some kind of major depression specifically in their adult lives. So that's a pretty big proportion of our population that will go through a mental health condition at some point. So how common is it? These are a few more statistics. I won't go too in depth, but anxiety disorders affect 5% of the household population in Canada. And important to note is that suicide is one of the most common factors in death, that leading causes of death in Canada. And I think that sometimes it's difficult to talk about a topic like suicide, but in my training, and as many of you may know, it's important to discuss that suicide is a reality and that it is something that people experience, the thoughts of having of ending their own lives, and it's something that we need to discuss, because if we don't, then that silences people's experiences and they may be less likely to come forward if they're having those kinds of thoughts, and less likely to get the support they need. So it's important to bring that out in the open. And of course, it is a myth that if you talk about suicide, it's going to be more likely for someone to go forward with their thoughts. That is a complete myth. If you talk about it, it actually opens the door to people being able to talk about it as well. So it's really important that that's something that we do discuss. Although it might be a hard topic, I mean, you may need some training around how to support someone, but really when someone is having those kinds of feelings, a lot of times what they need is someone to listen to them and someone to give them the support they need. So just wanted to mention that, and that I'm not just saying that. That comes from training and experience in the field of social work. And there's actually a program called ASSIST. It's A-S-I-S-T, which is a training that I took that actually indicates that speaking out about suicide, or asking someone directly if they're having suicidal thoughts, actually can help them to access the supports they need. So that is all I will say about that for now, but just wanted to make sure that we covered the importance of discussing that. So of course, as I mentioned, mental health can affect anyone. It can be a kind of combination of biological, social, economic factors that kind of culminate in an illness. And I think another important thing to note is that mental illness is an illness. It's just like any other illness, and it's not just something that people feel in their own mind. It's a real legitimate illness, and it's something that should be treated as an illness. Sometimes people need to go on medication, other times they don't, and they can do some counseling or other kinds of meditation and things like that, depending on how severe the illness is. But it needs to be treated as an illness and as a legitimate concern, for sure. So I don't want to just kind of ramble on. If anyone wants to jump in with any questions or anything, I'm open to that as well. I'm not sure, this kind of is a heavy topic, but I think it's an important one to talk about in light of those articles that I read. Has anyone seen any of those articles in The Guardian or the Globe and Mail? They just tell the stories of different students who have experienced mental health issues, and I think it's really powerful to share those stories, especially in those larger kind of publications, so that people can be aware of those issues. Okay, so I guess I'll just jump into the next topic. Oh, Coach Kaur, I haven't, but I heard that depression would be the number one issue in 2020. Really? Where did you hear that? Did it give any statistics as to why that was the case? Social work program a few years ago. Oh, Coach Kaur, were you in social work? More societal pressures. Oh, wow. We have something in common. Amazing. So, yes, so to move on, Coach Kaur had just mentioned that depression would be one of the number one factors, or number one mental illnesses in by 2020, which is quite a wild statistic. And as well, you know, anxiety and depression seem to be increasing on a regular basis. And there are a number of factors which can contribute to that, which I'll kind of jump into a little bit later on in this discussion. But at first, I wanted to go over some of the factors in students' lives that could contribute to a mental health concern. So specifically, when I was reading through some of the research, there isn't really much evidence yet as to what causes people to experience a mental health issue in contemporary society, because, like I said, it's a culmination of a variety of different factors, and there seems to be an increase. The literature points to the fact that there is an increase in people experiencing mental health conditions. So, and there's not a lot of evidence out there yet as to why that is. But there have been kind of some theories around that, and I wanted to talk about that in relation to student mental health in particular. So one of the factors which was cited in the literature is that when students are first beginning school for the first time, as young people, say they're leaving their student home or their parents' home or their family home for the first time, and they're transitioning to living on their own, that means that they're leaving their support network, they're leaving their home that they're used to being in. They are faced with different pressures around trying to live on their own and trying to do a university degree as well. And that can be really challenging to kind of balance all of those situations. And not to mention the fact that early adulthood is a time when people do develop mental health issues, and they kind of, that the onset kind of occurs in early adulthood, which is the time when people would be transitioning to university. So that's one of the factors which has been cited As well, as we all well know, substances such as alcohol and different drugs, they can be more prevalent in university lifestyles. It might be a person's first time kind of experimenting with drugs or alcohol, and that can lead to exacerbating factors, which creates in turn a mental health condition if someone is vulnerable to developing a mental health condition. So as well, you know, being away from their family in a new place, and then if they do engage in substances and they have an underlying vulnerability, that can result definitely in a mental health crisis or condition developing. People might feel isolated, they might not know where to access mental health support, and they might not have those other networks like their family and their friends and a job that they might have left back home. So all of those factors kind of culminate to potentially trigger a mental health issue. Cashman, a lot of alcohol reliance on the part of students to distress. In my law school, definitely. Cashman, I would say that, am I saying that right? Or Cashman? I would definitely agree with you there. Alcohol can be used as a coping mechanism for a lot of people. If people are, okay, good, I was saying it right. If people are stressed, they may resort to using alcohol as a means to kind of cope with that. And then of course, if they're already stressed and anxious, alcohol or drugs and mental health kind of butt heads, and they don't go together very well. So that can be the challenge, because a lot of times you can't separate mental health and addictions. And that isn't to say that drinking alcohol on occasion is an addiction, but certainly if you are having a lot of stress and you're using alcohol kind of to rely on to cope with your stress, then that can become problematic, of course. So, let me see the next. Thank you for that comment, Kajman. So one good thing that I wanted to make note of is that in the literature and in those articles that I was reading, I noticed that, excuse me, one of the kind of resounding factors that came out was the fact that mental health is becoming less stigmatized. And I would say that in specific relation to anxiety and depression. I think that other kinds of mental health conditions like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder or borderline personality disorder continue to be quite misunderstood because they're a lot more complex and they result in more kind of behavioral presentations, which can be challenging. But in terms of anxiety and depression, I think that because they're more common, people tend to relate to them and understand them a little bit better. So in turn, that means that people are accessing more support. But the problem with that, which was cited in these articles, is that universities are having difficulty responding to the need for student support around mental health. So they're needing a lot more funding and a lot more dollars to be able to put towards providing thorough mental health services, because as well, when you're experiencing a mental health condition, it's not just going to go away by taking some medication and attending one counseling session. It's generally an ongoing process. It's something that you need to work at kind of on a daily basis and develop positive coping mechanisms. And usually it can be, not usually, but sometimes it can be quite tumultuous when you're figuring out how to balance kind of your life with also experiencing a mental health condition. So yeah, I think that it's great that mental health or mental illness is becoming less stigmatized, but at the same time, I think that there's a lot more kind of research and resources that need to be provided to be able to address the issue on a holistic level. You agree. Thank you, Coach Core. So, So I wanted to also discuss something that's very important, which is how do you tell if it's a mental health condition or if it's just stress? Because as I mentioned, I think in episode 1 or 2, we all experience stress. Stress is a natural reaction for the body to have. But at the same time, when stress becomes too much and you're unable to cope, you're unable to attend class on a regular basis, or it starts to affect your daily activities, that might be an indicator of a mental health condition. Now, I want to make note, not everyone has a mental health condition or a diagnosable mental health problem, but it's very important to be aware kind of the factors which would contribute to a mental health condition. So, you know, if someone has left home for the first time, they have a huge course load, and they start drinking alcohol and then not participating in their volleyball club that they were really passionate about, there might be some red flags there that would indicate a mental health condition. So, as I mentioned, there are two kind of major mental health conditions which we're seeing more and more often, which are anxiety and depression. They're separate conditions. However, they can go together. So someone can experience bouts of anxiety and then bouts of depression. Sometimes a person may feel the same thing something in the same day, and they might be experiencing depression in the morning, and then later on in the day they might experience anxiety. So when those issues happen, that would be considered a mood disorder. So they may not be diagnosed with specifically depression or specifically anxiety. They may have a mood disorder. So I wanted to just kind of delineate the difference between the two. So anxiety is a group of mental health disorders characterized by feelings of anxiety and fear. Anxiety is a worry about future events, and fear is a reaction to current events. These feelings may cause physical symptoms such as a fast heart rate and shakiness. So it's kind of like chronic worry, but more pronounced. And anxiety can cause physical reactions, as I noted, and it can also cause, you know, racing thoughts, thinking low of yourself, low self-esteem, things like that can all go along with experiencing anxiety. And then I wanted to discuss two different types of depression. There's major depression, which is major depressive disorder is characterized by a fairly lengthy period of time, at least 2 weeks, during which a person feels sad or hopeless or lacks focus in life on a daily or almost daily basis. This condition is associated with many other symptoms, which can have repercussions emotionally, socially, professionally, and other significant areas of life. So both anxiety and depression can be very challenging disorders. And then there is also seasonal depression, which is experienced a lot by people in locations where there is not a lot of natural sunlight. So people will experience it during the winter time. So I know that where I'm from, here on the East Coast, we get a lot of gray. We don't have a lot of sunlight during the winter months. So that can cause people to feel really down in the dumps and depressed. And that's called seasonal depression, or SAD. And it is actually quite common. It affects 3 to 5% of Canadian adults. So as I noted, anxiety and depression can be coexistent mental health conditions as well. So another factor which is important to recognize, whether it's a mental health condition or just general stress, is that the condition lasts more than a week or 2 weeks. It's usually a period of 6 months or so, just because in order to get a diagnosis, a lot of times it will have to last that long and have a lasting impact kind of on your day-to-day functioning. Coach Core. Toronto winters. Yes, I learned about that. Yeah, it's a huge issue. I feel like more people kind of on a regular basis tell me that they experience it. And I don't know if that's, like I said, because we're becoming more open to discussing those things or if it's becoming more common. It's really hard to say. And as I said, like, I think it's a culmination of a variety of factors for sure. So anxiety can kind of play out in some different ways as well. You might experience nausea, trembling, fatigue, muscle tension, headache. And then in terms of more behavioral issues, you might experience excessive worry, feelings of heightened stress, purposeful isolation. So you're staying away from social situations because you're having difficulty being in social situations. Difficulty sleeping, so you're having insomnia because you can't stop thinking. You don't eat or you overeat to cope. And then, of course, as we discussed earlier, that can also be exacerbated by use of substances. So depression has some indications as well. So a person might feel sad or hopeless. They might say, they might express, oh, I'm feeling sad. I'm not feeling like myself right now. I don't feel like hanging out with my friends. I feel guilty. I feel like I'm dragging everybody down. I feel like I'm a burden. So those are things that might indicate that someone maybe isn't just having a down day. Maybe they are experiencing depression. And one of the other things to note is that I'm just going to say hi to a couple of people that joined us. Hem Zakayani and Dork Loves Duck. Hi, guys. People often experience physical symptoms in relation to depression. So someone might not even realize they're experiencing depression, but they might have really bad back pain or muscle aches, or they might feel like they're sick all the time or have headaches. Those can be indications of a mental health condition. So just be aware of that, because some people don't actually have the kind of the mental things that are going on, although it is a mental disorder. It is presenting in their body. And then if someone has depression, they might also feel like they can't get up off the couch. They just want to lay around all day. They aren't motivated to do the things that they once loved to do. And then depression also makes you feel differently. So it makes you feel like really kind of indecisive. You don't really care about what decision you want to make. It can affect your memory. You might start forgetting things every once in a while because you're just not invested in kind of that day to day. Someone might express that they're feeling like they're moving in slow motion. They can't catch up. They feel like they're not doing a good job. Like at work, they might feel like they're not putting their best foot forward, or they might express that. Maybe they still are doing that, but they're having feelings of low self-esteem because depression is dragging them down. And Coach Core, you said, yes, the mind-body relation is true. It's so true. And I feel like we don't give it enough credit sometimes because it's so important to recognize that everything's connected. The Neighborly Consultant, love this episode. Thanks a lot. Great information. Anxiety is tough for sure. Thanks, The Neighborly Consultant. I appreciate it. Anxiety is tough. And I feel like, you know, we all kind of experience anxiety to some extent. Some people are fortunate enough not to experience it, but I feel like a level of anxiety is kind of part of being human in some ways. Thank you for the comment. So, of course, I wanted to give a few kind of strategies to address mental health conditions. And of course, my top kind of recommendation or my top tip for this is really, if you are experiencing one or more of any of the symptoms that I have made note of, if you're feeling not yourself, if you're feeling like you can't get up the couch, if you're feeling like you're not putting your best foot forward, or you're down in the dumps all the time, or you're crying excessively, if you can't sleep on a regular basis, or if you're overeating, and maybe it's not something you notice, but maybe it's something that maybe a friend says something to you, or maybe you just don't feel right, I highly recommend getting the support that you need. And all that looks like is reaching out to a friend. But if it's more serious, if you're starting to have thoughts of suicide, if you're really feeling impaired, if you're feeling like you can't go to work in the morning or you can't go to class, please, please access appropriate support. So that could look like going to your counselor on campus. I looked up before I jumped on here. All of the universities, specifically in Toronto, have counseling services available on campus, and you can go and access support and talk to a counselor. And it's so, I can't emphasize enough how important it is. And I know even though we're starting to destigmatize mental health, it can still be really scary to access support and to walk into an office and talk to someone. But if you're having an issue with mental health and it's really starting to get to you, specifically if you're having thoughts of ending your own life, please get some support. And you don't have to do it alone. You can reach out to a friend and say, listen, I'm having a really hard time. Can you come with me to the counseling place? And if you have a good support network, make use of that, because I can't emphasize enough how much it's important to get support, because everyone deserves to be here and to stay happy and healthy and live their lives in a happy and fruitful way. And Coach Core, those that don't have any think people are making things up. Anxiety is looked down upon, I believe. Yes, I would agree with you there, Coach Core. Anxiety can be looked down upon, and depression as well. I think, as I've been saying, it is becoming a little bit less of a stigma to having mental health, but you're right when, you know, it can be scary to say that you have a mental health condition or you're experiencing anxiety or you're experiencing these feelings, because it makes you feel very vulnerable. And of course, if you are a person with anxiety, it can almost make you more anxious to have to talk about it. So I think you're right there, you know, anxiety is still a challenging thing to explain to someone if someone else hasn't experienced it themselves. And you're exactly right. So please access support, as I noted. Just go on your university's website and type in counseling or mental health, and resources should come up. And make sure you're pacing yourself, you know? If you are in university and you're taking 5 courses, maybe consider, you know, I'm not advocating withdrawing from courses, but if it's going to help you take care of yourself, you know, consider how you can lighten the load, because there's no use in taxing yourself when you are going through something that you just might need a little bit more space to pace yourself. So that's really important to keep in mind. Also, I find keeping a routine can be generally productive for people that are going through a mental health condition or a mental health bout of mental health issue. because keeping a routine, it helps you have predictability. So if you're someone that experiences anxiety, then you won't have to worry as much about what your day is going to look like if you have a routine. And as an alternative, if you're experiencing depression, having a routine helps you get up in the morning and helps you not stay in bed all day when you have something to be accountable to. And then, as I mentioned, avoid alcohol and drugs, because they can only exacerbate the issue a lot of time, although it is probably super tempting to engage in that kind of behavior. It can just make things more difficult. So try to avoid indulging in alcohol and drugs if you think that you are experiencing some kind of mental health problem. And then make sure you're getting enough sleep. So a lot of times if someone's experiencing depression, they might feel like they're getting too much sleep, but that's the body telling you what it needs. So listen to your body. If you feel like you need a lot of sleep, then get some more sleep. Give yourself that space. And same with anxiety. If you're not getting enough sleep at night, just make sure that you're taking care of yourself and kind of compensating for that sleep. And then I'm going to wrap it up by saying that there are lots of resources out there. If you're interested, I put some of the resources that I found on our Facebook link in the description. So if you are experiencing a mental health crisis or going through something that you need support, please take a look at these resources. You can look up the Canadian Mental Health Association. They have tons and tons of information around this stuff. If you want to look a little bit more in depth about whether you think you have anxiety or depression, they have kind of a breakdown of some of the symptoms and signs to watch out for on that website, so check that out. Anxiety Disorders Association of Canada is another good resource. Health Canada's mental health section, that's from the Government of Canada. And then, like I said, searching counseling on your university website is also a great option, because a lot of times when you're a student and you pay tuition, you can access counseling services for free. And otherwise, they are really quite expensive if you unless you go through public mental health. But when you're paying for counseling out of pocket, it can be anywhere from $100 to $150 a session. So take advantage of those resources while you're in university, especially if you're going through something. And then I also wanted to talk about, there's an option for crisis lines. So if you are kind of in an immediate crisis and you're feeling like you just need to talk to someone, there are a lot of phone lines that you can call, a lot of 1-800 numbers, just to talk to someone, and they can refer you to an appropriate counselor, and they can also give you some counseling over the phone and some support over the phone if you just need someone to talk to right away. And I put those in our description in the Facebook Live description. And then also, not to be too serious, but I do think it is something that we need to be serious about, is if you are having imminent thoughts of suicide or ending your own life, please call 911. If you have a plan set in place, make sure that you call 911 and access the support you need, because we want you here and you need to get support. Because you deserve to still be here. So I hope that was helpful. And Coach Core, I see that you're back. Thank you for coming back, even though your phone died. I appreciate your support every week. So that is all I have for this week. And I hope that was helpful. This is a topic, as you can tell, that I am very passionate about. Everyone deserves to be here. You're right, Coach Core. And even if sometimes it doesn't seem like life is worth it, it is. And we all want you here. So please, if you need support, access support. So thank you so much to everyone for joining us this week. We have a number of platforms that we are on now. So if you're interested in this content, you can access it on Facebook, Facebook Live. We're also on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. We're on Google Plus and YouTube. We're on Medium. We contribute blog posts, I believe, on a weekly basis to Medium. We're also on SoundCloud and Anchor, iTunes, and Google Play Music. So this session is recorded and provided on YouTube and then all of those podcasting platforms as well. So just look us up, Homework Help Global, the Learning Studio, and we'll be there if you want to listen afterwards. And please, if you do have any questions around any topics, whether it's academic, student life, mental health, relationship, personal, that we can give guidance on, certainly give us a shout. And you can use the hashtag HHG, capital H, capital H, capital G. Hashtag AskHHG is the hashtag that you can use to ask us questions on Twitter or on Instagram. I believe it also works on Facebook. And then you can contact us through any of those other mediums as well, Facebook and Instagram. And Twitter might be the most accessible for folks, but I encourage you, if you enjoy this content, to check us out on YouTube, give us a like and subscribe, and also on the other podcasting platforms such as SoundCloud and Anchor. So I really, really appreciate you taking the time to join us this week. As I noted, this is something that's really near and dear to my heart, and I appreciate the conversation and comments. And as always, I appreciate you being here. So thank you so much, and I will see you next week. Take care.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.